Now, if you would turn with me for a few moments this morning to Psalm 29 and verse 11. Psalm 29 and verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Dear congregation, strength and peace is what we so often need. There is much to drain us in our lives, and our peace can be so often disturbed. Well, as we see here in these precious words, the Lord gives strength to his people and also peace. And how refreshing is that strength when we feel that strengthening within and we're able to go forward. And how comforting is the peace. We can be disturbed, as already mentioned, but how precious, how comforting is that peace when we find ourselves looking unto Jesus, listening to him, and we find that help. Well, may we know a little of this morning as we consider this heartwarming promise in verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, just very briefly, before we look at these words in a little more detail for a few moments, it is believed that this psalm was composed on the occasion of a thunderstorm. And why that is, because of the words in verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. He is the God of majesty and power, who thundereth. He speaks from heaven in a powerful, but also in a just way, and we take note of his just acts. Oh, what a God he is. He's the Almighty One. Well, in view of this, he is to be worshipped. And as you notice in verse 1, mighty men, leaders, are to worship him. They're to give him the glory. And as we see in other places in the Word of God and throughout this book of praises, all are to worship the Lord. Are we found this morning worshipping the Lord? Are we in awe of him? Are we amazed at him? Are we worshipping him? Are we thankful that we know that peace that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, that peace in the gospel? You heard those words earlier this morning. The Lord said to that lady who felt her sin and looked unto Jesus for mercy, go in peace. Oh, that men then would praise the Lord, and that we would know strength and peace. Now just come with me briefly to verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. It's due, oh, to give him the glory, to ascribe the glory, the blessing, and the praise unto him. He is to be praised. The mighty men were to praise him. He is the governor, as we note in verse 10. All the mighty men and others would praise him. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth a king forever. All the kings, prime ministers, presidents, leaders would praise the Lord. He is king over all, as we note in verse 10. Oh, that men would bow the knee. Oh, then that men would give glory to God. He's over all. He's the king. And then that men would give glory, that he is the God who delights to give strength and peace to his people. And that brings us to verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Well, in view of this, let God be glorified, for we who love the Lord. May it be afresh this morning that we are found glorifying God, because he sends strength afresh to us. And he comforts us with his precious peace. Well, as we come to these words this morning, I'd like us to consider, first of all, the Lord's people. For it is the Lord's people that know strength and peace in a so special way. The Lord's people, first of all, secondly, the gift of strength, and then thirdly, the blessing of peace. And you who love the Lord, oh, that you afresh this morning would know that strength and that peace. If you're without Christ, oh, that yet you would look unto him, you'd be saved by grace, that you would know the Lord in a special way, and you too would know the blessing of strength and peace. Well, first of all then, the Lord's people, the Lord will give strength unto his people. You see the focus there. The Lord is giving these things unto his people in a special way. Now, yes, we can think of unconverted men and women. They know strength and peace. They have food to strengthen their bodies. And who causes the sun to shine and the crops to grow? It's the Lord, and we can think of his common favor. But all we're particularly consider that which is special, that which the Lord's people know. Now, the Jews were a favored nation. They were greatly blessed. However, we particularly consider the spiritual Israel, which consists of many Jews and Gentiles, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are savingly united to him. They belong to him. What a blessing it is it not? We who love the Lord, we who are in union with Christ, we who can say, my beloved is mine and I am his. He gives us strength when we need it. And he sends peace in his good time. And there is that calming in our soul. Oh, consider then the Lord's people. First of all, they were chosen. In Ephesians 1, verses 3 through to verse 6, we read, blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Chosen. One may say, well, this is a large doctrine for me to consider, but all consider the blessing of being chosen. How do we know? Well, those who've believed in Jesus can know that they were chosen by God in a special way. And as we think of being chosen, the Lord's people chosen, it was by electing grace. What did the apostle say in verse 6 of Ephesians 1? To the praise of the glory of his grace. And when we think of such love to me and love to you, dear child of God, oh, to admire free grace. Why such grace? That he should choose me in a special way, that I should find myself in time in the family. He did not make choice because of any foreseen faith or holiness. No, he chose solely of his grace and love. Oh, what a gracious God. Oh, what a loving God. Westminster Confession, on writing on these things, puts it like this: all to the praise of his glorious grace. And let us rejoice in the Lord this morning and admire his grace, amazing grace. Consider secondly, chosen to everlasting life. In Acts 13, verse 48, we read, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Ordained to eternal life. Oh, what a blessing to be chosen, and chosen that we might know everlasting life because of Christ. What a thought this morning. Oh, there's much sorrow in this world, and you may know much sorrow in your heart. You may know pain. You may feel loneliness. You may find it hard at this moment, but oh, what a blessing to know eternal life is before me. I was chosen to eternal life. You may say, well, how do I know? Well, go to Acts 13. Those who believed, have you believed? If you have, you can rest. Heaven awaits. Everlasting life awaits with Jesus in glory above. Oh, what a thought. Oh, what favour towards me, a hell-deserving sinner. Oh, what favour. Amazing grace. How wonderful it is. And the Lord's people have something to rejoice in at this present time. Well, they were chosen. But let's consider, secondly, the Lord's people were given to Christ. In John 17, verse 6, we read, I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. I'm so amazed afresh at those words. If you just think of it there, a people were given as a gift to Christ. Now we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Apostle Paul did in Corinthians. He's the unspeakable gift. And what can we say? What can we say? Words fail us when we admire Christ and his love towards me and towards you. He's the unspeakable gift. But there we see the Lord's people were a gift to him. Words fail me. Just listen again to these words of Christ. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Chosen and given to Christ, that he would come and save them. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, let us be lost in wonder that we were a gift. But let us also so live in light of this. May we live humbly for the Lord's glory. Thirdly, as we think of the Lord's people, they're saved in the time of love, in effectual calling, when one is pardoned all their sins and accepted as righteous. In Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 5, we read, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we have all had our conversation, in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. You see their salvation. One is saved. One is convicted of their sin, but then led unto Jesus. And they're saved by grace. The Lord's people are saved by grace. Not by what they've done. No, but saved by grace. It's all of grace, isn't it? Fourthly, the Lord's people are known as sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. In Corinthians we read, and what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Precious words the Lord speaks there. I will be their God. He's given himself to be their God, and they shall be my people. My people. And the people who belong to him are known as his sons and daughters, verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters in the family, a son or a daughter. Knowing him to be the heavenly Father, is that your blessed thought this morning? You're a son or a daughter, saved by grace. You belong to him, and he in a special way is a father to you. Now many say those words which our Lord taught by way of direction, our Father which art in heaven. Precious words. Oh, do you know the Father in a special way? Are you in the family? Does he see you as one of the number of his people, a son or a daughter? Oh, dear child of God, what privileges you know. You're a son or a daughter. You have a father to care for you, to provide for you, to help you in times of difficulty, to come alongside you. Oh, the privileges of being in the family, being known as God's people. We who love the Lord, we need to remember it, that we might glorify God for this wonderful truth, but also that we might live in this world as befitting of those who belong to the Lord. You see, sadly, like Jonah, we can forget and go in the wrong direction. Remember what Jonah did? He disobeyed the Lord and he went in a different direction. He boarded that ship and he thought he could put God out of his thoughts for a few moments or a few days, yet the Lord went after him. And you recall in the ship, Jonah was questioned by the mariners or the sailors. In Jonah 1 verse 8, then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us? What is thine occupation and whence comest thou? What is thy country and of what people art thou? You see, they question him. What people art thou? And he recognizes the Lord has gone after him. The Lord's dealing with him. And he owns up. Jonah 1 verse 9, and he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. He ran away. He didn't live as he ought to have done as a child of God. But the Lord went after him and he owns up there on that ship. Oh, let us remember that we belong to the Lord. We are the Lord's people. Oh, to live in a way that is befitting as we live in this world. Oh, to live humbly. Oh, to be perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We can never be perfect, but oh, to be more holy, more like him. And let us be thankful that we belong to him. Well, we think, first of all, then, of the Lord's people. For it is the Lord's people who know strength and peace in a special way. And that leads us now to consider, secondly, the gift of strength, the gift of strength. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He will give strength. How we need strength. For the Lord has promised here to give strength, that which is necessary. Oh, let's look to him. Oh, that we would know this morning, if we feel the weakness, as I do, the renewing of strength. Remember those precious words in Isaiah 40 verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's the promise. If you feel weak at this moment, you look to the Lord, you wait on him in his good time. He will renew. You'll know the strengthening with him. Now we read, the Lord will give strength unto his people. And right at the outset, as already hinted, it's implied we need strength. We need strength such as in a day of trouble when men rise up against us. Like the Apostle Paul, we can feel our weakness. We need strength on such a day. And in other days of affliction, we need strength. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. In a moment, but consider the strength that comes. But you see there, the Apostle Paul, he knew what it was to feel weak. I do, and I'm sure you do. We feel weak within. Weak in affliction. Weak in trial, weak in distress. We face testing times. And I'm sure all of you have known such weakness at times throughout these last few months and throughout the majority now of this year with the pandemic. Times of weakness. We face testing times when we are afflicted and we feel the weakness within. It may be some sickness comes on us and we feel weak. Some I know have come and they faced the COVID themselves and they become very unwell. The sickness comes and one feels weak. And there's that draining feeling. You think of a sickness bug. Thankfully, I haven't had one for a number of years, and I'm so glad because, if I'm honest, I'm terrible about being sick. And I get so drained, I just feel so weak. It's not nice, is it? The draining feeling when you're being sick, and maybe some other cause of sickness, and you feel the drain. It may be opposition in the world you're facing. Maybe in the workplace or the place of education. And maybe as we go on, we just feel so weak. People come, they laugh, they mock, they avoid you. And you just feel the weak. Even in the church, Christians can feel weak. Ministers can feel weak. We feel weak at times when we face opposition and our strength is drained. Maybe you're on a battlefield and you're facing the fiery darts of the evil one, the devil. And he keeps firing darts at you and they keep coming. And oh, you're trying to lift up the shield of faith as you've been exhorted to do in the Word of God in Ephesians. But you're tired, you're weary, you're weak. And oh, you've struggled as one fiery dart has come, but another's coming. And it drains you. Be thankful for Christ who makes intercession. As he prayed for Peter, that there would be a strengthening. And then just consider simply as you go about your business in this world, you can get tired, you can feel weak. Fathers get tired, mothers get tired. Children, you get tired, don't you? We need strength. Well, the Lord's people can rest in the promise here. The Lord will give strength unto his people. How we need to look to the Lord for strength. That's so important, isn't it? We mustn't look with him. We must look to the Lord for strength. You remember Samson? Near the end of his life, he said this in Judges 16, verse 28. O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Yes, he was a strong man, but he'd become weak. And he's looking to the Lord here as he would do the Lord's work. Strengthen me. Give me physical strength, Lord, but also mental strength and spiritual strength. Oh, we need to look to the Lord. Oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Those are precious words. Precious words to be prayed. Strengthen me. I feel the weakness. We do. Oh, turn to the Lord. Lord, remember me. Think on me in such a special way. Lord, I know that thou art always looking on me. Thou art near to me. But oh, remember me. I feel the loneliness. I feel my weakness. I'm tired. I'm weary. Remember me and strengthen me. Look to him. And remember this. The Lord will give strength unto his people. Now consider further, it's a gift. Notice here, the Lord will give strength unto his people. It's a gift of grace. We've already thought this morning of God's amazing grace, chosen, saved. What grace? What a grace it is that we are given the gift of grace, or strength rather. A gift of grace. We don't deserve it, but we need it, don't we? It's a gift of mercy, this strength, because we so need it. You think when the Lord comes and you feel this strengthening, oh, it's in mercy, isn't it? We were in need, and the Father, in such a pitiful way, has pitied us. He's come and given us strength. It's a gift of grace. It's a gift of mercy, for we need it. It's a gift of love, for the Lord loves his people in such a special way. Yes, he has a love for all. But oh, he has a love which you see the special for his people. And what a loving gift to give you strength, dear child of God. Take comfort, he will come and give it to you again and again. We may be in distress and we're crying out and we feel a little strength, but oh, the next day we need more strength. He will give you strength, what you need. You may not feel you're that much stronger, but maybe you're able to read a verse and you're able to focus a little more on Jesus in the trial. Well, that's been a little strengthening, isn't it? Remember his grace, and the strength he gives is sufficient. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, we read, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My grace is sufficient, says the Lord. And you note there's this strengthening in one's weakness. Strengthening grace is what you need, and strengthening grace is sufficient for you in your need. He gives it. You're able to go on. You may say to me, but I feel so weak. But he gives you strength to go on. He gives strength to the hearts of his people, spiritual strength. One is strengthened through the grace and mercy of the Lord, through his powerful influence on the heart. One feels strength. He uses the word. There's the ministry of the Spirit. And there's this work in our hearts. We feel weak. Maybe we're struggling to look unto Jesus. Our faith seems small, but then suddenly a verse comes and we feel the strengthening. What a powerful influence of the Lord. He has access to our hearts and we begin to feel the strengthening. We're weak, but we feel a little stronger. We may be able to pray a little bit more, focus on the word a bit more. We may feel weak, but then comes a little reviving. And faith is strengthened. Maybe the mind begins to settle and the eye of faith widens. And we rest in certain promises. We know certain promises, precious promises. And yet we are weak and we're struggling. But then we know a strength and we're able to focus on those promises. And then rest on those promises and are able to go forward. How many times have you felt so weak, but you've been able to go forward? You felt still the weakness, but you've been able to go forward. Strengthen. The strengthening in the soul. The strengthening in the mind. Able to go forward in the battle. Remember those precious words in Psalm 18, verse 29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. A great hurdle in front of you. And you thought you'd never get over it. I remember at school the high jump, and well, as they kept putting the bar up, I thought, well, I'll never get over that. And you may say, well, I'm never going to go over this trial. But then suddenly you find yourself looking back on the trial. Or you find yourself a little stronger in the trial and you're able to go over certain aspects of difficulty. You're able to go forward. He gives strength, spiritual strength, strengthening of faith, strengthening of love. We're able to focus on the Lord. We're able to have our hearts full towards him. He gives spiritual strength, but also mental strength. Don't forget that. There's many taxing things we have to face, but he gives mental strength. We're able to think. It may be a while and you're struggling and certain ones struggle so much, but then there comes this strengthening in the mind. And physical strength. Oh, let us give God the glory for physical strength. Yes, we eat our food that we might be strong. You lads here this morning in the family with me, you eat your food, don't you? Because you want to be strong. who gives us ultimately our food. It's the Lord, isn't it? He gives strength then for our bodies. We're able to go forward. Oh, we go forward in the battle. You remember David? He went forth to meet Goliath. He gives us strength for the battles we face in this world, the battle we face with Satan, and also with our sin. Yes, sadly, at times I have yielded to temptation. But when I consider other times I've been able to say no, it's because the Lord has given me the strength to say no. Well, strength in affliction, strength in the battle, strength for godly living. The Lord will give you that strength. You desire to live for him. Yes, we stumble, we fail, but you desire to live for him. He gives you strength for godly living. He gives and he gives again. He gives to this particular Christian, then to that other Christian. He gives to all his people. One may say, well, I'm very weary now. Surely my life is nearly gone, and I feel so weak. Well, he will give you strength in the valley and at the end, and then you'll know such strength in heaven. To so look at Jesus, to so rejoice in him, to so love him, to so adore him. Oh, what strength he will give to our hearts when we leave this world, dear brethren, and see Jesus. Well, he gives. Do you feel weak today? Will you wait on the Lord? He will give you strength. Strength sufficient. Well, let's draw to a close now. And consider thirdly, the blessing of peace. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Peace when great things are happening. Just notice again the context of the psalm. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. There's great things happening, but the child of God knows a little peace. Peace. He will bless, we're told, his people with peace. He will bless them or benefit them. And what a benefit peace is. It's a great blessing, isn't it? We can have our peace disturbed. We can be troubled. Then comes the benefit of peace. Peace begins to fill the heart. It's not always calm, is it? If you're not a Christian, or that you would look to Jesus, like that lady did this morning in Luke 7, for you will know peace. Luke chapter 7, verse 50. But even the Lord's people can be troubled at times. One may become converted. They look unto Jesus, but doubts arise. It's interesting in Luke 7. The Lord spake of her faith. She had come to faith in Jesus Christ, but she was troubled. And the Lord said to her, go in peace. He's a young convert. They looked unto Jesus, but they're still troubled. Peace will come. Go in peace. Maybe someone listening on, you may be a new convert or someone who's known the Lord for a little while and you're troubled with doubts. Peace will come. Jesus says, go in peace. He will give peace. That lady, she was a believer, but she knew a measure of trouble within. Go in peace. Peace will come. Our doubts can arise so quickly. And the believer can be in trouble. But a believer can be in trouble because of other things in their lives. Some sickness, some illness, some difficulty in the home, the family, or the workplace, or the community. And their peace is disturbed. Maybe they're troubled with their sin. It's not calm. One feels God's hand heavy upon them, as the psalmist did in Psalm 32. It's not that peace, but the Lord will bring peace. He will bless his people with peace. Our peace can be disturbed, but peace comes again. The Lord will bless. In John 14, verse 27, we read, peace I leave with you, said Jesus. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. peace, says Jesus. He said it to those disciples, peace. He says it to you, dear child of God, peace I leave with you. Are you finding this peace now filling your soul? Just listen to Jesus, peace I leave with you. What a gift, what a benefit. We can be disturbed, but then peace comes. Peace in view at the finished work. He did it all for me. He went all the way to the cross for me. My hands were empty. He did it all for me. Peace in view of his finished work. Do you know that this morning? Are you looking to Calvary? The child of God. He did it all for me. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith who endured the cross. Peace in view of the finished work. Peace in the soul, that tranquility, we need it. We need the peace afresh to know our sins are forgiven by God as a Father. We fail him, oh, to know that peace. You may be troubled about some sin. You go to the Father now, dear child of God. He will bless you with peace. When you humble yourself and look to him by faith in a penitent way, he will bless you with peace. You'll know the peace of fatherly forgiveness. He bestows it. And you'll know peace at times in this world through other things. He will give you peace, times of calm and rest. You may be struggling mentally. How many of us have struggled mentally through the pandemic and through these lockdowns? It's not easy, is it? I'm honest with you, it's not easy. But when peace comes, it's precious, isn't it? And he will bless you. What a blessing. He will benefit you. With peace, there'll be this calm. Maybe you're struggling mentally in a situation, but then peace comes. Your mind begins to relax. And joy begins to fill the soul in view of Jesus. Maybe you've been battling, but then peace comes. You think of V-Day. After years of conflict in Europe, many battles, many were lost, but peace came. And you may be battling on in a situation, but peace will come. He will bless you with peace. Peace in your life, peace in your soul, peace in the churches. Oh, there needs to be peace. Peace, he will bless his people with peace. It will come. You will sense it to some measure. You will know peace. He so loves you. He's a father to you. He's going to benefit you with peace. We can look back, can we not? At times we've been struggling. And then we've known peace. He's been such a God to us. He's blessed us. He's benefited us with peace. Oh, he has his mind on you this morning. He wants to strengthen you further and he wants to bless you. And nothing will hinder him blessing you with peace. Listen to Spurgeon. He's resolved on it. And then who shall hinder it? He's resolved. Who can hinder it? Many would try, but who can hinder it? The Lord will give. You rest in this promise this morning. Doubts may say, but look at my situation. Others may come to you. How could you trust a God like that? You rest on the promise of God. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Strength and peace will be your portion again and again. In this season of great trial, may you at this very moment and in the days of this week know a strengthening within and may you know peace. Peace at the feet of Jesus, for he is the Prince of Peace. Will you with me this morning now look to Jesus and be at his feet? Admire the Prince of Peace and listen to the legacy is given to you. Peace I leave with you. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless his word. Amen.